Thanksgiving. Well, I hope we can get a Thanksgiving message out of this. Okay. Colossians. First chapter. That's one you don't look at too much. Colossians. First chapter. When you find it, say amen. One we don't read too often, Colossians. I'm going to be reading from the 9th through the 14th verse of Colossians, first chapter. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Father, again, as we come to you, knowing, Lord, that we are nothing, but Lord, you are all. And we just ask God that you would take this little bit of clay and use it, O God, to your glory. Father, that you might supply our needs here this morning, that you would just let that Holy Spirit move within each of us. Kindle in us a new fire, Lord. Make us, O God, aware of where we are. We ask you, God, just to take this message. You deliver it, Lord, that it might accomplish that which you have for each of us. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. And amen. The book of Colossians. You don't read it much. Matter of fact, it's one that we kind of pass over. The church in Colossae was founded, but Paul had never been there. He had never visited this church. Matter of fact, Paul was at this particular time in prison when he wrote this letter to this church. But he had heard of it, as it tells us here in that first verse. He had heard of this church, and he was there to commend it. The Colossian people were people, I guess the word they use is Gnostic, but anyhow, they were educated. They were highly educated. They thought they could have all in all by the education that they accomplished. They thought that only through the power of the education, the knowledge, could they be saved. And you know, that's a lot of the story today that we think that we read the Bible, we study, we do, and we think that within that we find salvation. Not so. We study the scriptures there someplace, and I can't put my finger on it right now, but he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have salvation. You think you have eternal life. That's the way it reads. Okay. So we think that they thought that they might be saved by their education. And Paul knew differently, because Paul himself was one of the most educated men of the time. He had been there. He had done that. He was one that had studied under Gamaliel when he was the chief, and he had studied, and he was very, very highly educated. But Paul knew, after he had went the route through persecution of the Christians and the road to Damascus, you remember the story well, how he was struck down. And he found that education just doesn't get it. It's good to have, but it's not the thing that brings salvation. It is not. So as Paul was writing this letter to these people of Colossae, he told them, and as he was writing this letter, he said, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with knowledge." That they knew. They knew that they had the knowledge. They knew that they were well educated, that they knew all about it, of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's where the catch comes in. It was not necessarily the knowledge that they had, but they need the wisdom and the spiritual understanding. So many peoples have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. They know of Him. They read. They have read and have heard preached. They have heard talked. They have been in studies about Jesus Christ. We know about Jesus Christ. But do we truly know Jesus Christ? This is what Paul was trying to impress upon them. Although you have the knowledge, do you have the wisdom and the understanding? This was what Paul was preaching. Meaning that to know about Jesus Christ, to go through the motions, to know about God, to assemble together in a sanctuary, do all this, just doesn't get it. We have to commit individually, each and every one. And he was telling them here that they needed an understanding. Well, if you go back into scriptures, and I picked up a couple of scriptures here, and it says in Psalm 111, in the 10th verse, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's not a one of us that wasn't introduced to Jesus Christ through the first step of that road, which is the fear of the Lord. We fear God. We fear God for so many different reasons. We fear God if we don't know Him. We fear Him for what He can do to us. Yeah. So many peoples, they get in trouble. This or that, for one reason or another, things happen. They get sick or one have an accident or something like that. And God, what did I do to deserve that? Yeah. What did I do to deserve that? Knowing that God is in control. Not admitting that He is ruler and they need Him in His life. No, they don't say it. But they know that God is supreme. You talk to anybody out here on the streets today, very, very few would deny the power of God. So, consequently, almost all peoples fear God. Almost all. Not probably in this day and age we live today, it's less and less and less and less. Because education, and those that really think they know it all, are teaching different stories than what the Bible says. Different ways. Different ways to approach God. There is so many different ways that you can approach God. You don't have to go through the blood of Jesus Christ to approach God. Baloney! Only one way. Through Jesus Christ. As he said there in the Psalms, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Well, that's a good start. But that doesn't get it. We have to move on from the fear and to the acceptance. He said, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Wow. There's the clincher. To know God and to do what he wants us to do is two different things. See, we can fear God, but until we are saying, yes, Lord, I will, and do what he wants us to do. Do his until we follow him, and his greatest commandment of all was what? I don't hear you.
I am his Lord.
I still don't hear you.
I am the Lord, your God. You will. I can't remember.
That's all right. You got the meaning. Yes, one of the greatest commandments God ever made was to accept his Son, Jesus Christ. Right. The greatest commandment that Jesus Christ put on in one of us was what?
Love.
Love one another. So you see, the commandments of God are very simple. To accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, and then to love one another through Jesus Christ. That's it. Another scripture that almost parallels that is found in Proverbs 9, 10th verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So you see, here again he says that the fear of the Lord, it's only the beginning. It's a starting place. It's what would bring the people off of the street, out of the gutters, and out of the sinful world, and bring them through the doors of churches all over this town. That is what brings people in, is the fear of the Lord. But that's only the beginning. They could come into the church, they could fear the Lord and do all this. And talk to a man one time, and it stuck in my craw. he said, he was talking about this and his life and this, that, and the other. But he said, I always make it to church on Sunday. He said, yeah, I make that scene on Sunday. That was his attitude. Do anything you want to all week, but make that scene on Sunday. Yeah. You walk into that, you be at their church. Yes, you be there. So you see, he had the first part up in pretty good shape. The fear of the Lord. He did fear the Lord. But he did not continue that and go into the keeping his commandments. That was the thing that Paul was telling this church. You're educated. You're highly educated. You're very smart. But you depend upon your knowledge for salvation. And knowledge doesn't get it. Period. It's good to have it. Absolutely. It helps us in our daily life. We could hardly live without it. But we have to move on. We have to go farther than that knowledge. Yes. Said in the temper that you walk with good works, increasing the knowledge of another one, walking close to God, staying where you need to be, close to God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long suffering, with joyfulness. Yes, that road that leads into eternal life, it's not easy. Don't let anybody tell you it's an easy road. You haven't really seen difficulties until you bow at the altar and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then old Satan wants to attack you on every side that he can. He wants to put the fear into you. He wants to make you doubt. He wants to do everything he can to destroy your trust in Jesus Christ. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to, in every way that he can, he will try to destroy you. You have to battle him daily. Is there anybody here that hasn't had a battle with Satan in the last week? You see, the closer you get to God, the more it makes old Satan mad, and he wants to try to get you back. Because before you were saved, he didn't care what you done. He was his. He didn't care. But now you belong to Jesus, and he's trying his very best to get you back. He'll hit you with everything he can. He'll put you through the tests of your very stretching of the limits. But you are on the winning side. You are in command because you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, who has supreme power over anything that the devil could throw at you. All we have to do is just to accept Him and allow Him to fight our battles for us. In Sunday school this morning, what was it you said there, Jessica? What was it you said in Sunday school?
Fight your battles on your knees and you win every time.
Fight your battles. I like that. Fight your battles on your knees and you win every time. As long as we let Jesus Christ do our battles for us. Yes, if you try to stand on your own, you won't make it. Because you're no match for Satan. You are no match. But Jesus Christ can whip him every time. Yes, can kick him out any time he pleases. Read on. Giving thanks unto the Father. Well, this is Thanksgiving. We stand up sometimes, if we can get the glue off our seats, we stand up and we say what we're thankful for. Probably Wednesday evening during our Thanksgiving service here at the church, we'll probably, every one of us, get up and quote, say what we're thankful for, how good God has been to us, and all that. We need to thank the Father. He says that God made it possible, not only for salvation through Jesus Christ, but read those words there. Give me thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Wow. You see, the saints of light, those ones way back there in the Old Testament, back there in the foundations, the saints that were so dedicated to God that, man, they followed the rules. They wrote it right down to the letter, and some of the things that they done, we look at today and say it was kind of ridiculous, but it was the law of the day. Jesus Christ changed all that. Today we don't have to do the things that they did and under the different rules that they had set up. No, we don't have to do that because Jesus Christ took care of all that. You see? But we thank God that He made us, He gave us opportunity to join into the saints of the old ages. Can you even begin to imagine what a gift that was? That God allows us, you and me, plain old people, sinners, and well, we probably defied everything that God ever taught us, but He still loves us enough that He made us, you and me, partakers of the saints of light. Wow! That is fantastic. You and I, equal to those old saints in the past. Wow. Yes, He said in His word to be partakers of the inheritance of life. Wow. But what a great. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Folks, you could not ask for anything greater. You'll never see or hear of anything greater than to be delivered from the power of darkness. You say, those folks that are out there in the world today that had no thoughts of attending a church this morning or to fellowship and worship of God the Father, those that would choose to do anything else this morning rather than to bow a knee and thank God for all that He's done for, live in darkness. Spiritual darkness. Just as dark as any night could be. But God has given us, has transformed us into the light that we can see. We have a spiritual light. Yes, we have a daylight, all we ask everybody can see the daylight, but we have a spiritual light that will guide us through spiritual darkness all the way through to eternity. Yes, through, how am I saying that now? Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When Jesus Christ left this earth, you remember the story of how His disciples were standing around and all of a sudden up He went into the clouds to be with His heavenly Father, to sit up on the right hand of God. He's got that place for you and I. He says it right there. Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Yes. We now have that right. We now have that way into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The clincher of the whole thing is in that 14th verse, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Is there any sinners in the house this morning? Yes, yes, yes. All of us are. We fall short, don't we? We fail. Yes, we do. But there's one sin that is talked about in the book of James that some of us would like to pass over And some of us would like to skip and wish it wasn't there. Do you ever do that? Do you ever read the Bibles and read where you're convicted, you know, something? And say, man, I just believe that hadn't have been there. Well, that's hitting me pretty good, you know. If we read and we study and we read God's Word and we find out, well, in there is, Lord, it'd just been all right if we hadn't said that. But that kind of gets to me. You see, sin is fine as long as it's on that other guy. As long as it's on somebody else, you're fine. These people out there, yeah, it's good. Yeah, that we don't have any problem with that. But boy, when it's turned around and it hits us at home, then it hurts, you see. Look at the game. The fourth chapter, 17th verse. It's a short one. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To know to do good and to do it not. Many, many times we're confronted, we reach a point that we know things that needs to be done. We might even see a place somewhere along the line that we can be of help to somebody, that we might be able to speak a kind word, that we might be able to do something for God. And we back off. They'll think I'm crazy. Yeah. My pride won't let me do that. You see. We get it in the way. But let me tell you something, folks. If God has allowed us to be in a position to do good, showed us the way to do it, and we do it not, it's a sin just the same as if you'd have committed it. Because being disobedient to God, He don't like that. But folks, He has translated us. He has translated us. Who cares what they say about you? You know, little things. It's them little things, really, that matter. It's not the Walmart area. You ever been to Walmart?
No.
Once. You know where it's at?
Maybe twice.
It's out there on the hill. Yeah. They've always started ringing their bells out there, you know. And I come out of Walmart there the other day, and lady was ringing her bell, and I walked right by her. She said something to me. I don't know what it was now. She said, and I started my car, and I moved. All that money you've got in your pocket, and you ain't willing to share just a little bit there with that lady. She turned around. Tell her what ain't. You see, I was headed in the wrong direction. So we go 180, and we go the other way. And we reach in our pocket. I don't know about you. I got a habit of when I get change from that, whether it be bills or whether it be an ad, I stick them down my pocket and I sort them out later. I reach down, there's a paper. Well, I just pull out one of them papers. And I'll give it to them. And off time gets it down that little hole. You know? This tiny little hole there. Stuff her down in there. She kind of laughed at me. We had laughed. I don't know if she put that. Kind of had a laugh together. First of all, that laugh together means a lot. It means a lot to people to be able to smile, to be able to laugh. Turned around and I started walking away. And she said, well, God bless you. And I said, whoop. Whoa again. I stopped again. She said, God bless you. And I stopped and I turned around. I said, you know, He does much more than I deserve. That's what we need, folks. You don't know. That person that you
you meet out there on the street, that person you meet at the Walmart or any place else, you might be in a restaurant or what have you, that little girl that serves your food, maybe she needs you. Special. A special gift from you, a blessing. And you can give it. You know, restaurants, when they serve your food, and you sit there.
Every one of you done this.
You say, well, do we bless the food, or we just go ahead and eat? Let me tell you, if you'll just take a minute and just bow your head and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you've sent my way. Thanksgiving, praise God. Yes, thank you for everything. Someone in that restaurant will get that message. Someone will hear that prayer. I'll guarantee you. Someone from maybe clear across the restaurant will be looking over there. Look at them people. Wow. It may be the very thing that they need at that time. And you can give it. But to no good and to do it not to him. You see, this knowledge of God is only the beginning. The understanding is that walk daily with him. That understanding of God is that constant relation with him. Keeping his commandments, knowing what he wants us to do and doing it. We too often shirk our duty. Let me tell you, this is Thanksgiving. And we should, every one of us, be on our knees just thanking God for the goodness that he has done. Oh yes, we've got our problems. But he's taken us through it. Just think, where would you be had you not gone for your comfort? Where would you be today? Yes, where would you be? Living alone. Where would you be if it wasn't for God? Where would you be when we have all these things that come upon us? Yes, when someone bashes your door. Yes. Where would you be if you didn't have the faith in Jesus Christ to know that he's going to take you through? Where would you be? Thank God. I thank God for allowing me to be a part of his salvation. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We just lift your holy name, O God, and we just thank you for all that you have done. And we pray, O God, that as you touch us with your sweet Holy Spirit, that we be obedient, O God, in all things. Lord, though we make such miserable mistakes, help us, O God, to overcome, and forgive us, O Lord, our faults and failures. For it's in the name of Jesus that we ask it. And amen. We're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. If God has touched your heart, if you feel that you need a closer walk, this altar is open. You know, I'm not saying that you can't find Jesus, that you can't pray to him in your own way, in your own home, and wherever you are. You certainly can, but it is that commitment, that getting up, that walking forward, that bowing at an altar, makes a difference.